Lord, we do want to commit this time to you and pray, Lord, that you would be with us, that your presence would be real to us, and that we would have known by the end that we would have met with you. Lord, that's a huge ask. And Lord, we are not capable of making it possible. But Lord, we ask in faith, may your presence be with us and may we be aware of it. And all of God's people said, Amen. Those of us who grew up going to church, you know, you had Easter Sunday, and then the following Sunday, you know, Easter wasn't quite over. So often what you got on the Sunday after Easter was the road to Emmaus. And those of us who grew up in that timeline pretty much knew the story because it didn't change from year to year. The two lads were going back from Jerusalem to Emmaus, 7 miles, disheartened, discouraged. They encounter the risen Jesus, but they're not allowed to recognize him, and he's asking them questions, and they're answering about all the stuff that happened and all the confusion. And then he starts to clarify who he is. He brings them through the scriptures. They're approaching some kind of an inn, take out, take in, whatever it was. They invite him in, and then he does a runner after blessing the food. And what we got from that was obviously the story behind it, and the reason for it was so it was evidence to prove the resurrection, and in some way it might be an encouragement to the saints or the congregation. But that's as far as it went. Isn't that the truth? For the most part, that's as far as it went. But the road to Emmaus is not a good road to be on initially, because the two people who were on that road were struggling with this. They were disheartened and disillusioned. And I want to ask, since I have the question up there, how many current day followers of Jesus have left the church disheartened and disillusioned? The answer, of course, is many. These two people were leaving Jerusalem because, as far as they were concerned, it was all over, and they were utterly confused, disheartened, and discouraged. The road to Emmaus is flooded, or indeed, I'd say this today, is probably overcrowded with disheartened and disillusioned would-be followers of Jesus. To miss that is to miss the main point of the story. Indeed, as the lads were leaving Jerusalem and heading back to, obviously, Emmaus, they were doing so disheartened, discouraged. And but over the years, you know, many people have left us here in New Life to seek other expressions and experience of Christianity. And that's the truth. We have been here, we have done that. We need to seek other experiences because there's a measure of disheartenment or disillusionment. Indeed, some have left, hoping to have a road to Emmaus experience. By that we mean encountering Jesus in a new and in a vibrant way. The road to Emmaus is a very crowded road. And as you look out today, it's getting more and more populated with disheartened, disillusioned followers or would-be followers. But that has always been the trend. What you do with being disheartened and disillusioned, different people respond in different ways. Over the years, some people have come and gone with us. One of the things they have said, and I'm sure the disciples on the road said that they had exhausted everything that had to be offered at that stage. So people have said to me down through the years that, you know, that they have they had exhausted everything that New Life had to offer. And that's probably true up to a point. And indeed, as we know, some are utterly amazed that we're still around. But the point being is disheartenment and disillusionment was there right from the beginning. It seems to be part of the journey. And many people are genuinely, and they leave all kinds of places indeed, but what they're seeking is a road to an Emmaus experience, experiencing Jesus in a new and in a vibrant way. Ultimately, that's the road to Emmaus, isn't it? I think you'd agree with that. That's ultimately what it is. See, we know the story, but we have no way of how does that connect with us? Or how do we, you know, identify with it, for the want of a better term? Oh, disheartenment and discouragement. Seeking a new experience. Put it any way you want. To encounter Christ in a different and in a more vibrant way. And one of the ways people do this is to find some place that is more vibrant and hope to encounter him there. But these two disciples that were leaving Jerusalem weren't looking for another path. They were literally walking away, disheartened and disillusioned, rampant at the moment. In all types of churches, the road to Emmaus is actually much more relevant than we realize, or even what I've realized, or I move on. So how many of the current day followers of Jesus have left the church because of disheartenment and discouragement? There are probably more that have left than now attend. When you take the church as a whole, with all the various denominations and all the different expressions of Christianity and styles and types of worship, there are more who don't attend now than actually do. I think that is the truth. And we have identified some of the things why people do. One of the things, the problems we have today is that people, well-meaning for the most part, overpromise what Christianity can offer in the short term. Christianity is not an easy road. And the further down you go on it, the more you realize it can be very challenging at times. But often what is presented is the blessings and the promises and the fulfillment that goes with it. But the trials and the hardships and the disappointments can be minimized, because obviously that's not something you want to be focusing on if you're encouraging people in and you're encouraging them to stay. Is it any wonder we are where we are and we have the size we have? But part of it is simply because of disheartenment and discouragement. Anyway, the road to Emmaus, obviously we know what happened, but I have a question for you. What did Cleopas, because that was one of the disciples' names, and co, we don't know who the other person was, what did Cleopas and co do to make the road to Emmaus a life-changing experience? What did they do? These two disciples that left Jerusalem disheartened, discouraged, were walking away. What did they do to make the road to Emmaus a life-changing experience? The answer is nothing. They did absolutely nothing. Everything about this road to Emmaus is about divine intervention, divine instruction, you know, and divine reassurance. They did nothing. They were simply interrupted, as the fellow says, Jesus just showed up out of the blue. That's exactly what happened. They did absolutely nothing. So it's not easy to recreate the road to Emmaus experience, especially if Jesus doesn't show up and do the needful thing. But in this case, they did absolutely nothing. And I suppose, you know, what happens today and what Bible preachers of all denominations will say, so that people don't go away with false expectations, is simply this. That chances of that happening again are slim to none. Have you heard that? This was a kind of a one-off. It was given at the very start of Christianity. And very slim that is going to happen again. But preachers then have to find something within the message, within the road to Emmaus, to encourage the saints. Do you agree? And you know, if they're more biblically based, they have to find principles and patterns, and all beginning with the same letter, possibly. They're able to drive the truth home. But the chances of having a transforming, encountering with the risen Jesus, like those people had that day, are slim to none. Would you agree? Which, by the way, can be very disheartening in its own way and can be a bit disillusioning. So what are we left with then? Because we all heard the story, right? And we heard about it was an encouragement to the early church and proof that Jesus rose, and that it was kind of us getting second-hand information to try and maybe keep us moderately encouraged or from being completely disillusioned. Did it work? Only for a time. Only for a time. So what Bible preachers do with this story is simply this, and I'm sure I've done it myself. Jesus knows where you are, because he knew where those two men were. If there were man and a woman, we don't know what the second person was. Jesus knows where you are, what you're thinking, and what you're feeling. Because Jesus asked him the questions. Why are you so downcast? And then he says, are you the only one that does? No. He was the only one that actually experienced it. But that's another story. There's a bit of humor there, you know? So the first principle we will be taught is, Jesus knows what you're thinking, what you're feeling, and where you are. Don't worry about it. He has the handle on you, so to speak. No, that's very reassuring. And that would be a principle you take from the passage, wouldn't it? A second principle that we would take is simply this. Jesus may be very close to you, to us, and we're unable to recognize his presence. He was physically, maybe he was as close as Martin is to Mary right now, distance-wise, we're not saying heart-wise, and distance-wise, and they didn't recognize him. So it is possible that Jesus could be walking very close with us, that his presence could be as real as it can get. But we may not be able to recognize it because the disciples, in this case the two, were unable, they were prohibited from recognizing his presence. So that's the second thing, isn't it? I think we'd agree with that. And there's a good likelihood that has happened to us already. Certainly in the spiritual realm, that the Lord has been close to us and we haven't been able to recognize him. I think that's true. So he knows what we're thinking, he knows what we're feeling, he knows where we are. And we can be every bit as blind as the lads on the road to Emmaus. And Specsavers won't help us in that situation, I'm afraid. Anyway, lesson number three, which will be very fair again, is simply this. We can and do ask him to open our minds and help us to understand Scripture in a life-transforming way. Because what he did with these two who were downcast and disillusioned is, he started and said, do you not realize all this has been written, all of this has been prophesied, and all of this was meant to happen. So they got a Bible study from God himself in human flesh. Now, what Bible preachers and teachers like me will do is, we ask every Sunday that the Lord would open our minds and help us to understand Scripture in a life-transforming way. And as close to the road to Emmaus as we can get. I think there are three good principles, aren't there, that you get from the message. By the way, we didn't get those very often, so we didn't even. We didn't. However, but the road to Emmaus is all about encountering the risen Jesus in person. Now that's where it kind of falls short for us, isn't it? Because ultimately, it wasn't just a Bible study. Ultimately, it wasn't just reassurance. Do all of that, it was all of that, but it was more than that. It was encountering the risen Jesus in person. And that is what made the difference. Do I have another heading here? I have, yeah. Yeah, that is there again. I put in the same thing as, but the road to Emmaus is all about encountering the risen Jesus. Yeah. Now, there's a whole world of difference between hearing about something and actually experiencing it. So when we hear the story of the road to Emmaus and we've had it over 3 years, we're hearing about somebody else's experience and somebody else's encounter with the risen Christ. So what do we preachers then? How do we get around that one? Because you can't get Jesus just to show up as the risen Christ just at any whim. So what we have to do then is this. First of all, disciples under authority needed and were given both the explanation and the experience of encountering the risen Christ. Both were necessary for their spiritual growth. Do you agree? They were first of all given the explanation as to why the Christ, in this case Jesus, had to die and all the suffering and all the things. So that was the explanation. No, he could have stopped at that and just moved on. And said, no, lads, your minds are clear again. You're scripturally focused. On you go. But he didn't stop at that. So the explanation came, first of all, to inform their minds, very important, and to clarify their thinking and get their thinking straight. But then the experience was so important as well. They experienced the risen Jesus. And they recognized him at the breaking of the bread. And then he disappeared. In my opinion, one of the reasons why people are so disheartened and disillusioned, not as many reasons, but one of the reasons why they are, is that we're up to our neck in Bible knowledge. That's not a bad thing. But we're only ankle deep in experiencing the risen Christ, or the truth that has often been explained to us. And lads will tell us, Bible teachers and others will tell us, all you need is the explanation. It's more than that. Isn't that interesting? Isn't it? It wasn't just the explanation. It was the experience of experiencing the risen Christ. I am convinced that one of the reasons why people are spiritual, are disillusioned, disheartened, is they have an awful lot of knowledge, but they have very little experience of the truth of that knowledge. So what we are trying to do is put more knowledge in, more knowledge in, more knowledge in, but little experience of actually the truths that we're learning. I think that is certainly a factor. Second thing is, what would have become of the two on the road to Emmaus if they had not encountered the risen Jesus? We can know for certain, and we can always speculate, but there's a very good chance they'd have just kept walking, and that had been walking further and further and further away from him, continued possibly to be disheartened and disillusioned. That leads me to my question. What's to become of those who are on the road to Emmaus today and not encountering Jesus in a life-transforming way? Because this road to Emmaus is crowded with disheartened, disillusioned Christians. Now, I'm not talking about cynics and all that. That's a different setup. We're talking here about the would-be followers of the Lord. But they're on that road to Emmaus. They're already on it, and they're disheartened, discouraged, disillusioned. And they're desperately seeking something that can transform them, that can lift them out of that pit that they're in. But what happens and what becomes of them if they're on that road and they do not encounter Jesus in a life-transforming way? The answer is they remain disheartened and discouraged and disillusioned. And it increases and not decreases. So you see, the road to Emmaus is much more relevant than we realize. But we cannot do what Jesus does, which means making himself real to people in his way, in his time. The best we can hope for is that he would open our minds and our hearts to understand Scripture in a life-transforming way. That's a whole different game altogether from knowledge. You don't need Jesus and to give you a heap of knowledge, but to be able to transform that knowledge in a way that transforms your life, you do have to encounter him, of where you know it is real. And not encountering him just means you go further down that road. Now, some people go down that road, they do encounter him, but they're not happy with what he says or the explanation that he gives, and they're looking for something else. If I were to ask you today, if we could guarantee, even walking on the M50, not that I recommend either Jesus or me walk on the M50, get run over, but pick any road in Ireland that is safe for walking, if you could be assured that you would meet Jesus on that road, would you go there? I think we'd have trouble stopping you. You'd use every resource that was available to you to get there, to have an encounter with him. Even just an encounter, not a mind, life transforming. Even an encounter. How do we close this? The road to Emmaus cannot be planned. It cannot be arranged. And it cannot be dictated to by us to God. The road to Emmaus is where God breaks in to where we are at, fully aware of what we know, what we're feeling, what we're thinking, knowing what is the cause of the disillusionment, the disheartenment, and giving us the remedy for it. How do you know when it's life transforming? Because the two disciples did a bow turn and headed back to Jerusalem to tell the lads inside who were terrified, we have met the risen. I would submit to you, there's a world of difference between attending church anywhere, any denomination, and actually encountering Jesus in a life-transforming way. They can be radically two different things. But ultimately, that was the cure that Jesus offered to two disheartened disciples on that day, the explanation and the experience. For my money, I would love to have both. But the explanation came first and the experience came second. It doesn't always go that way, but in that case. And so what happens is, because we can control the experience, we will, you know, what happens is that will play it down and give you a heap of information, hoping that it will transform you. An experience of the risen Christ is worth any money, anywhere, anytime, to any degree he chooses to give to us. And if embraced by faith, it can be a life-transforming event of where you are never the same as. That's some of my finding. There is much more in this passage than what I'm giving you, but that is enough for now. Would I love to have what those men have? I'd give anything. So would you. Life transforming, give anything. But I cannot manufacture it. The Lord knows what I need, when I need it, and how best to give it to me. But I have no man telling me that it is not possible to encounter the risen Jesus. I could encounter him anywhere, even in Tesco, anywhere. Who knows where he'd show up for me? I am open to that. In the meantime, I continue to ask that he give me a certain amount of wisdom that can help to keep me going at least, and ultimately to transform something. And that we pray, Jesus, in your name, that you would at least give us that. And help us, Lord, where we're at. Help those who have come and gone, Lord, wherever they are on this road to Emmaus, Lord. Help them, Lord, that they would have this encounter and it would transform them. And all God's people said, Amen.